The fun has begun. Penance is here, real penance. And of course, if you don't have anything to give up, which most of you don't, well, not really, mostly little tiny things, which are insignificant to God, but not to you, but they should be significant, God will give you penances. And of course, I'm an example of that. He always sends me something or other very difficult to bear, very hard to navigate, as you can see. And so we have the magnificent gospel that we have from today. Of course, the gradual and tract are magnificent enough, the longest of the whole year. And of course, we thank God for our wonderful Schola that was able to navigate it. But we have this wonderful gospel from St. Matthew. Our Lord, after his baptism in the Jordan, is led by his Spirit, his own Spirit. And we need to be very careful that we don't think that it's two different entities and that one has nothing to do with the other. The Trinity is still the Trinity, and they're inseparable. We must never forget, and most people don't even know it, but they better learn now. There'll be a quiz after Mass. The dogma, not teaching, not fable, not whatever, the dogma necessary for salvation, by the way, all dogmas are, of divine perichoresis. And most people can't even spell it. I can, but most people can't even. And then in Latin, it's circumcession. And most people think circumcision, which has nothing to do with it. Now, circum, yes, circle. Circumcession, the Trinity. The three persons of the Trinity always are together, inseparable. Wherever the Father is, so too are the Son and the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Son is, so too the other two persons. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, like at baptism or at Pentecost, so too the Father and the Son. They're here united, even in the wonderful incarnation, in the hypostatic union, where the Son of God becomes one with the human nature that all three of them have created in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, from her DNA only. She is the only human parent of Christ our Lord. When we receive communion, we're receiving her too, indirectly, but yet, yes, the Blessed Mother is there. That's why we have the title of Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. And so it was he himself. St. Matthew says Spirit, and that's fine, but it is he himself, his divine will, that leads him to the desert to show you and me a lesson. He had no need of this. He had no need of anything. He's God. But yet, in this wondrous mystery which leads us into the holy season of Lent, we see that he goes to the desert after his baptism in the Jordan, which of course he did not need either, but it was a gift to us, instituting the sacrament of baptism, thus instituting the sacrament of the Church. And of course, remember, sacrament in Greek means mystery. All of it is a mystery. We can only understand it by the divine revelation of God. And so he goes to the desert. In his human body, he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, some people say that this is an exact number, and we still follow it in Lent. Other people say it is, in Scripture, a symbolic number, just like seven. That means many. In this case, many, many, many. So he fasted for many days, so much so that he was at the point of, in his human nature, fainting for hunger and thirst. Now, you and I could not have done that. We have a difficult time when it's just a couple of days. And so, this is a moment, one of the couple of moments in the history of Christ. We meditated on another such moment on Friday at the stations. This is one of the two moments in his life on earth that the devil was allowed to approach him and tempt him. Otherwise, the devil, one, did not know that he was Christ, the Son of God. Two, would not dare to approach him. But at this moment, he was. For you, for me. And so he tempts him as his human nature, not the divine, his human nature is weak and hungry and thirsty and oh so tired. And so he presents him with the three temptations that are the classics for our own spiritual life as well. In the flesh, he was hungry. If you are really God, tell those stones in the desert. The desert in Palestine was not just sand, it was mostly rocks. Empty, dried up rocks. No life in them. Desert, really desert. Like our spiritual life is when we don't have God. Tell those rocks to become bread for you. And of course he said bread, which symbolized food. He could have said a wonderful roast lamb or a roast piece of meat. Interesting that he could have also said, but didn't dare, let this become a big fat pig, because that was forbidden to the Jews. Christ was a Jew in his human nature. And our Lord says, it is written, not by bread alone shall man live. But of course, he can live only from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And which is the word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made man. In principio erat homo, erat verbum, in ho logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why we read that. We remind ourselves how important our Lord Jesus Christ is, and that which he gives to us in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And here the translation says, and the tempter, of course it was the devil, it was Satan. He took him up to the highest point in the temple, the pinnacle of the temple, where St. James, the first bishop of Jerusalem, was cast out. A very high place. It was not only high in itself, but it was over a cliff and many, many hundreds of feet. And so when poor St. James fell to the bottom, there was not much left of him. So he took him there. He says, if you are really God, throw yourself off this pinnacle to see if God will come and help you, if he will send his angels to surround you. Of course, we sung that. He's quoting. The devil is quoting scripture. Psalm 90. The wonderful hymn that our Schola has sung. The gradual and the prayers that follow. Psalm 90. Where it says exactly just that. He has set his angels about thee, lest thou should even strike thy toe on a stone. Any suffering that Christ underwent was because he willed to undergo it. Any suffering that he underwent was because he willed to undergo it. Oh, the hand could do gracious miracles. Yes, yes, yes. So he chases him off again. And then he takes him up on the highest mountain. And you know, one of the things that strikes me is the tremendous humility of our Lord. We have here God Almighty made man. And the devil did not know that it was God Almighty. He was trying to figure it out. It was concealed from him. But he figured something was going on. Well, you know, his mother Mary, she doesn't belong to us. She has no sin. His father Joseph, he doesn't belong to us. He has no sin. He has no sin. What's going on here? What is it? This must be the Son of God. And so, a new member for the choir. And so, he takes him to this mountain. But Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Mary, allows the devil to take him someplace. Now, what kind of humility is he showing to us here? For you, for me, he allows himself to be taken. Whenever you and I sin, we don't allow ourselves to be taken. We are forcing ourselves to be taken. We want to be taken. It is our free will, misused, yes, but it's our free will. Jesus here allowed him. It was his will to allow him, but he did not will it in any way. So he takes him up to a very high mountain. Who knows where it was? Maybe it was Mount Everest. Who knows? He says, look at all these kingdoms. If you fall to your knees in front of me, I will give everything to you. All this belongs to me. It has been given to me. And isn't it true? The world, the theater of redemption, as the theologians call it, this world in which you and I live and in which you and I suffer, belongs to Satan. If you don't believe that, turn around. Open the TV. Open the radio. Go to the movies. Go to some business place. And the evils that you will see and hear are untold. The world belongs to him. And he says to him, if you will fall to your knees in front of me, if you will worship me. And of course, that is the whole thing of Lucifer and Satan. He thought himself so beautiful, so grandiose, so perfect, that he thought everybody should worship him and not God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And off he went with his followers to the caves of eternal hell, the fires of eternal hell, from where he is allowed to come out here and there to tempt you and me. He's allowed. He doesn't come on his own free will. He is allowed. And so our Lord says to him, as we should do, these are our lessons from Christ at the beginning of Lent. Be gone, Satan! For it is written, the Lord thy God thou shalt adore. In him only shalt thou serve. The Lord thy God. We do not serve our body or its concupiscences. We do not serve the world and its riches and beauties that are only creatures. We do not serve people around us that may lead us to evil. We do not serve them. We must serve only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So with Christ, we must say, be gone, Satan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.